do our best. Remember, everyone, just don't be yourselves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I'm MC Hammer. It's hot, it's summertime, but you can escape the heat by going into the house of God and letting the Lord just breathe on you. Some of that cool air, the breath of God.
What?
You can escape the heat too. Right now, get out the heat. Use the hot sun to be your excuse.
What?
Where I'm going, I'm on my way to church. Get out this heat, man. Call somebody, tell them to grab their Bible. Hammer, deal him with it.
Excuse me, what are you talking about? Gay.
Don't believe anything they say. Allegedly, it's not true.
Once again, I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
No, that's it.
This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
2 cheers for Lisa. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Now, deep breath and quiet.
Can Ronnie Millsap sing it or what? Misery loves company, and ain't that the truth?
And now,
my goodness, was that a mouthful?
Our feature presentation.
Said that many different times, haven't you?
Oh yeah.
Lisa
yeah.
used to work country radio, country music.
I was, I was spinning the hits.
My goodness, can Ronnie sing it?
Classic country. It's pretty crazy.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Monday morning, the 29th of July. I'd like to start off with William Billy Cantrell, who's 28 years old. He was arrested this week for stealing from his neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he went into his neighbor's house, and he took an Xbox and a smaller box, and then he went to his grandmother's house.
Okay.
So they kind of figured out who it was, and the police went and got him and found out that he had stolen a box of drugs. Which he was very excited about. White powder. Turned out to not be cocaine. It was this man's grandmother. Her remains. So the dude stole.
Oh, no.
The cremated remains of this guy's grandmother.
Oh, my God. He was going to snort her.
They say that he didn't snort any of it yet.
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Come on. How long? If you have a box of drugs, how long are you waiting?
That's my point. On the way home.
Yeah.
On the way home. But that's a bad surprise right there.
Yes.
You do not want to snort somebody else's grandmother.
Oh, dear God.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We have John Oliver from The Daily Show.
Who's doing such an amazing job.
He is. He's filling in for John Stewart.
John Stewart, yeah.
And he's doing a fantastic job. His coverage on the royal baby just kills me. I love it so much. We're going to do Ask a Mobster. This guy, I was watching this television show over the weekend, and there are five main mafia families in New York.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of them, and he was about third in line. And he was way, 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 way up.
That's really powerful.
I don't know how he's still alive. I mean, we have to ask him that. But
yeah,
it's fascinating the way they go all the way back to the 70s, and the FBI had no idea what they were doing. And then they, you know, then the FBI started learning. They got the Donnie Brasco. Is that mm-hmm. the name of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Got him in there, and it's just fascinating. So we're going to give you a chance to ask a mobster today.
Cool.
We're going to tell you about a man who has 22 kids from 14 women.
Not as cool.
That exists. And we've got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com as we do on Monday mornings. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. It is Monday morning and time for Ralph to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Because it is Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The only big debut this weekend was the big winner overall this weekend. Hugh Jackman's The Wolverine. Arr!
I saw that movie. I don't remember him going, arr! At all.
You didn't stay till after the credits.
Oh.
Especially after credits scene.
That's too bad.
The Wolverine made $55 million in its debut this weekend. The Conjuring continues to be doing very well for itself. $22 million made it number two at the box office this weekend. Despicable Me 2 was third. Then Turbo. You see, he's a snail,
mm-hmm.
but he gets to go really fast.
His big dreams.
Because snails are famously slow.
Right. I think,
but now this snail goes fast.
I think people get the
concept. I don't
think
you get it. Grown Ups 2 was fifth. Red 2 was sixth. Boy, a lot of people not going to see Red 2.
I liked it. It's goofy, but I liked it.
Maybe it's because Bruce Willis was a dick to that guy in that interview. Did you see the interview with
the guy
in Britain? I'll have to bring in some audio for the next hour. It's a poor bastard just like us who works at a radio station in the UK, and he's doing one of those junkets, one of those roundtable publicity events where you get 15 minutes with the stars and you get to ask your questions. And so he sits down with Mary Louise Parker and Bruce Willis, and he is desperately trying to make the thing work. And Bruce Willis is just being a dick. He's like, you may not realize this, but we're not acting now. Maybe you're acting, but we're not. We're just selling the movie. We're just selling it. The fun stuff happened before when we made the movie. Now we're just selling it.
Wow.
Yeah. Pacific Rim was 7th. The Heat was 8th. R.I.P.D. 9th. $5.9 million this weekend. R.I.P. R.I.P.D. See what I did there? Used their own title against them. And Fruitvale Station, in limited release, did $4.7 million worth of business, making it number 10 at the box office this weekend. Amanda Bynes' saga continued in court last Friday after our show went off the air. Her mother, Lynn, was denied a temporary conservatorship over her 27-year-old daughter. Why, you may ask?
Yeah, what does it take?
Well, the judge said there's really no need to make the ruling right now because she is going to remain hospitalized in a psychiatric hold for the next 2 weeks.
Ooh.
They have extended that. The judge decided to extend her psychiatric hold in the hospital for 2 weeks.
Is that normal or is that difficult to do?
Well, it's not normal. I mean, obviously a 5150 is just 72 hours, and then they evaluate you within that 72 hours, and they made their recommendation. And the hospital staff seems to believe that she needs to be on medication, that she's exhibiting signs of schizophrenia and perhaps some other mental issues. So they're going to put her on the right meds, monitor her for 2 weeks, and then we'll reevaluate her psychological condition at that point.
Can we still laugh? Or
not so much anymore.
It's serious now?
Think.
We can't.
She's got a mental illness now.
Oh, that's not funny?
Yeah, it's not just her being all, you know, stoned and weird and stuff.
Now they took that away from us.
Yeah, it's not so much fun anymore.
Oh, that sucks.
Her parents, Lynn and Rick Bynes, are, as you can imagine, truly afraid. They told the court that their fear is that she'll die with no intervention.
Hmm.
They also told the judge she is a paranoid pothead, obsessed with plastic surgery. She thinks she's constantly being watched. In their petition, they cited the following. She covers up smoke alarms with towels and tapes windows shut and covers her car's dashboard with cardboard and tape because she's afraid that people are looking at her and taking her picture.
You know, this is a weird thing because she is sort of a celebrity and she is being watched.
If you are paranoid, I think being a celebrity would make it even worse because there is a certain amount of that that's real.
Right.
You know? She's obsessed with the feeling that she and others are ugly. Well, we knew that. And she is seeking potentially dangerous plastic surgery over and over again. When she showed up in California from New York City and the cops asked her how she got there, she said she cabbed it.
She cabbed it from New York?
She didn't, but that's what her response was. And they're also concerned about her finances because she started off with about $4 million of net worth.
Mm-hmm.
And they say she's burned through about almost two of that.
Most of it on weed.
She's written $63,000 in checks since just May. And has withdrawn another $200,000 in cash in June and July, so that's $400,000 totals. And no one knows where the money's going or what's happening.
Oh, my God.
Problems with Ms. Bynes.
Guess so.
And that charming Justin Bieber, pop scrotum Justin Bieber, also in the news. I don't know if you saw this on Friday, but he was in a Toronto hotel room and just dozens and dozens of Beliebers just hanging out beneath his balcony at the hotel, just dying to get a glimpse of their hero.
Sure.
And he was kind enough to step out onto the balcony to his cheering throng of fans and then proceeded to hawk loogies and spit down on them off of the balcony.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
God, I was afraid you were going to say that.
His own fans?
Yeah. That's what he does.
He spit on them?
Yep. Spit on them. They got photos of him just leaning over and just releasing.
Are
his,
you kidding?
His Bieber bombs.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Some Beliebers said they're no longer Beliebers, and they thought it was disgusting. Well, sadly, others said they'd be honored. Here's a tweet.
Oh, no.
I'd be honored and keep that spit forever. Another tweet said, his saliva is like holy water.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's put him inside a cave and roll a big boulder in front of it and see if he comes out in 3 days. And if he doesn't, then it's not like holy water.
He spit on his own fans.
That's what you get, believers.
What a dick.
See, I don't think Anne Frank would be a believer. I think he's wrong.
Either.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer, bassist, legend from Rush, Geddy Lee. Geddy Lee, everybody. Geddy Lee is 60 years old today.
I don't feel like you're getting the response you wanted.
I don't think so either, but I'm going to pull in some Rush, maybe a little Tom Sawyer,
right,
and we're going to rock out this morning. He's 60 years old. Actor Will Wheaton, one of the kings of the geek community, celebrates his 41st birthday today. Actor Stephen Dorff is 40. Josh Radnor, actor from How I Met Your Mother. He's Ted on that show. He's 39 years old. Danger Mouse of Gnarls Barkley fame turns 36. And actress Allison Mack from Smallville. She's 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 6.
So, will Muggs allow me on the show now?
I think so, unfortunately. I mean, fortunately.
Hey, with that. That was a sad half hour listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I gotta be honest.
How dare you?
Missed you guys. Why can't we fire Beer Mug? I mean, isn't this the last nail in the coffin? Isn't this the last thing we needed?
Well, all except for the fact that it wasn't his fault at all.
Yeah, but come on.
Okay, yeah, we probably could.
Fire Beer Mug.
All right, we are off and running on a Monday morning, a brand new Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for a brand new Bean Seth Corner.
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray. There's something wrong in his head. Death. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean. Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
A lot of sweet death in the news this week. I'm sure you guys saw the hikers in Maine. Amy Steiner, 37, Melissa Moyer, 38. They were chicks just out on a hike, and they got lost. The weather turned inclement. They got too far away from the path. They couldn't find their way out. So they called 911, and the state troopers came and they rescued them. Happy ending, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Delivered them back to their automobile. It's foggy. It's rainy. They're on their way out of the state park in Maine when the car plunged into the water off a boat launch as they were trying to leave immediately following their rescue.
Oh, my God.
They said that apparently it looks like they took a wrong turn away from the parking area. The end of the road becomes a boat landing. They just weren't familiar with it, said a Washington County Sheriff, Donnie Smith. It was foggy and rainy, and they literally drove off the boat landing right into the water. Rescued in the park. Put in the car, trying to go home. Woo! Dodge that bullet. Thank God that's behind us. Right into the water and drowned.
It really is your time. I mean,
yeah,
you really do.
So.
If there's two swipes at you in one day,
yeah,
right, go down.
That's so sad.
Just lay down.
I feel like God is saying, all right, maybe I put my foot on your neck and you got up the first time.
Right.
That's not happening again. So they lose. God 2, lady 0. Atlanta police are investigating a report of a body found at Moondogs, which is on Peachtree Road in Buckhead, Georgia. The body was found by a cleaning crew. Apparently what happened is this guy decided that he was going to break into this bar by climbing between the top of the fence and the ceiling of the patio. Unfortunately, there's only a clearance of about 6 or 7 inches there, and the man got caught and asphyxiated.
Oh!
He died trying to go over the fence to rob the business, and that's where they found him.
Awesome.
I guess he deserved that,
of
right?
Of course.
Here's two in a row that you're going to appreciate. Both you, Beer Mug, and Kevin will love this because they both involve eating and drinking yourselves to death. The first, a guy was in a beer drinking competition at a festival in Spain. His name was Joaquin Alcaraz Gracia. He was fine up until then. He had drunk in this contest 6 liters of beer, which is about 2 gallons.
That's
a lot of beer.
In 20 minutes.
Oh.
Witness said then he just started to vomit without stopping, and he never spoke again. It was a tragic end to the beer drinking competition. Rules of the competition are up straightforward. Contestants have to down as many liter glasses of beer as they can in 20 minutes. But it seems Joaquin's body said well enough was well enough. He started to vomit in his chair. I was one of the people who held him upright. He vomited a lot, but I sat with him for about 10 minutes, and he was sleeping and then snoring away. Unfortunately, he wasn't really snoring. He was actually dead, as the emergency crew found out when they were called to the bar.
Wow.
So he drank. I mean, is this a situation where you go, at least he died doing what he loved, which was drinking tremendous amounts of beer?
And did he win? Or is it the no reversal thing?
You know what? That's a great question. It doesn't say if they awarded it to him posthumously.
It would have been worth that little ribbon.
Exactly.
Given
certainly,
his life.
Certainly would have been. And the man who died in an eating competition, we go to Australia for this one, he was part of a pie eating competition. His final words were, "Geez, this chili pie is hot." That's the last thing he said. He was there to have an enjoyable night, and it's a tragic and unfortunate thing that has happened, says a spokesperson from the restaurant. He was well known to the whole of Bushy Beach. He was always up for raffles and used to winning things. At halftime, they called the chili pie competition, and people were asked to volunteer, and this man, Bruce, put up his hand. He took a few bites before he started to gasp and pass out. There were seven other people in the competition. The meat was not overly hot, but apparently it was for him, and it killed him.
Wow. So,
how would it kill him?
That's a great question.
That doesn't even make
I don't know.
Sense.
Yeah, but I mean, that's he was fine up until then. Then he started eating the chili pies, and then the next thing you know, he dead.
I wonder if he was allergic to something.
Oh, that could be.
That's possible. Yeah. And finally, and you know why I'm so sad about this story. A Brazilian man has died after a 3,000-pound cow crashed through the roof of his house and crushed him.
Through the roof of his house.
That doesn't happen very often.
Do we not expect ever to have that happen?
No. Cows don't fly.
The man was sleeping with his wife when the animal plunged through the corrugated asbestos shelter of his home in southeastern Brazil. The cow is thought to have escaped from a nearby farm before it climbed onto the home, which backs up against a steep hill. So their house goes up against the hill. The cow ambles on down, ends up on the roof. It then fell 8 feet through the roof into Sousa's side of the bed. The roof buckled under its weight. The wife, by the way, completely unharmed.
She was she was laying right next to him?
Yes.
So a cow falls, kills husband, and
correct.
She's fine.
Yes. He was taken to the hospital with a broken leg, but the victim's brother said that he died shortly thereafter from internal bleeding.
Wow.
Here's my favorite quote of the whole day. "I didn't bring my son up to be killed by a falling cow," his mother told Brazil's Super Canal TV channel. "He nearly died when he was two and got meningitis, but I worked hard to buy medicines for him and he survived, and now he's lying in his bed at home and gets crushed to death by a cow. There's no justice in this world." That is true, my dear. That is true. And that is Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
You know, if the aliens came down and they didn't know anything about human beings or planet Earth except what they read on TMZ, they would think that it was end times. They would think that our species is almost extinct, wouldn't they?
Well, there certainly is plenty of evidence toward that, yeah.
It's just crazy, the stories that are up right now. And we go to our good friend Harvey Levin at TMZ.com in the newsroom on this Monday morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Harvey.
I'm chronicling the demise of Earth.
You are, yeah. just Hollywood, mainly.
But, okay. I mean, again, you look at your front page, and we're going to talk about Amanda Bynes, and of course, Lindsay Lohan is up there. And then you've got this puddle of mud, Wes Scantlin story, which is just one of the craziest things. It's all happening, like, right now. What's up with people?
Well, I don't understand. I mean, when you have a dispute with a neighbor, you take a bus, all right?
Yeah, that's... I don't know how many people just have a chainsaw sitting around ready to go.
Yeah, so, no, he's having a little neighborhood dispute.
What's his beef with his neighbor?
Well, that's unclear. I mean, the neighbor is saying this has been – it looks like he thinks that they – in some way they've trespassed onto his property.
Like part of their fence is on his?
Yeah, so his answer is with the buzzsaw. But, you know, it has to do with a patio.
Okay.
But the neighbor is saying this is just the, you know, one thing in a line of bizarre conduct. And he took a sledgehammer as well to a brick cylinder wall, took a buzzsaw, and cut everything to the property line. I've actually seen this before. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, people get insane when it comes to property lines. And, you know, we'll come out with a measuring tape, and they'll look, and they'll see that something's over 1 inch, and they go nuclear on it.
I've had a fight like that, a beef with one of my neighbors, and it was pretty much the same thing. We were acting like children. Well, he was. I was an adult, but he was acting like a child.
Yeah, sure. But you know what? It's really funny. I mean, as crazy as this sounds, having done the People's Court for many years, I have seen so many of these things where people just lose it.
Right.
And lose it over, like, a tiny piece of land that they're not even using.
Right.
And they go insane.
Yep.
This is the a man's home is his castle thing.
Sure. Well, this is Wes Scantlin we're talking about. If you want to see the story at TMZ, he's the singer for Puddle of Mudge, which I guess I didn't realize we're still together, but he's out there with a chainsaw.
And by the way, you can see him with a chainsaw.
He needs to, I don't know, write more songs and tour some more. Get out of the house.
Speaking of chainsaws, Harvey, I don't think we've gotten a chance to talk to you about Sharknado, but do you love it like the rest of us do?
I just love it so. And by the way, and I hate to say because I was on vacation, I didn't see it, but I've seen parts of it. Oh. I love the concept.
Harvey, trust me when I tell you, I've watched it. I watched the whole thing, and you saw enough. Because if you see the highlights, that's the good stuff. The other stuff is, it's so bad, it's unwatchable.
Well, here's the thing. It may be less unwatchable if you didn't like Tara Reid in it, because we found out there was a meeting last week, a production meeting for the sequel, because, of course, they're going to do a sequel. And in addition, by the way, taking it, it's going to go to the big screen in 200 theaters soon.
Sharknado is the original?
Sharknado, the original.
Wow.
You're right, the original.
Yeah. And, not all the remakes?
No, not the remakes, not the cheap imitations.
Right.
But the original is going on 200 screens. But they're doing a sequel, and they had a meeting last week on the sequel, and they've decided Ian Ziering is going to come back, or at least they want to bring him back. Tara Reid, not so much. And it's too bad. I mean, it's, you know, when you get rejected from Sharknado.
Yes, that's...
Yeah, right, exactly.
I got to tell you, watching that movie, the acting is horrible. I mean, it's noticeably bad, and she stands out as being worse than everybody else.
Well, she's not coming back. And as for Ian, here's what I'm told. They, the budget for this was like $1 million, and they paid the stars about 50 grand. He's probably going to make a lot more money than that for the second one if they sign him up.
Yeah, we guess so. Yeah.
Hey, it's certainly the best thing he's done in a while.
I'm guessing they're going to sign him up, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's not like he's got a clear schedule. All right, this is the voice of Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in the newsroom this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. Before we go, did I hear correctly this morning that they have just extended the hold on Amanda Bynes? She is not a free woman yet, right, Harvey?
Right. They extended it on Friday, so the doctors need another 2 weeks to properly diagnose her, although it looks to them, we're told, that this is it's looking like schizophrenia, which is really sad. Something that's been building, by the way, for years.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, her parents are trying to get a conservatorship, and it's she's supposed to go to court in a week because she wants out. She does not think she needs to be in the hospital.
Right.
So it's a mess right now. But one kind of interesting side note to this is that in these conservatorship documents that we got, the parents are saying that she saved about $4 million, but she's blown through $1.2 million in a very short period of time, and they don't understand where she spent it because she doesn't really have any debts.
Right.
And in two cases, each day, once in June and once in July, she withdrew $100,000 each day.
Wow.
Whoa.
And they can't figure out where it went. They think some of it went to drugs, but I mean, there's no way that, you know, that kind of money went for drugs.
How much drugs can you buy?
I know. I mean, they don't know what it is, but it's just so sad.
So, Harvey, I have to ask you the same question I asked Ralph a half hour ago, which is, this is no longer funny now. We can't laugh. We have to.
Do we have to
be sensitive and go, oh, this is real?
It's so no longer funny. It's really sad.
It's been a good run.
But here's the thing: when, you know, hopefully she's going to get better, because remember with Britney Spears, we couldn't laugh.
Right.
And we're laughing again.
Yes.
She's okay. So, you know, there you go.
So she just needs to take a step forward, and then we could all enjoy ourselves again.
I'm sorry, but it's you know what? And it turns out this has been going on. This has been like a downhill slide. First slowly, and then it just got really fast.
Yeah. Well, I think the answer to all of our problems is that Amanda Bynes gets Tara Reid's job in the next Sharknado movie. That's what makes everybody
happy. There you go.
She's working. We're happy.
It's a win-win-win.
You should win some kind of Nobel Prize or something.
All right, Harvey, have a great week. Everybody, check out TMZ.com. Thanks for the time, sir. Got a great show planned for you today, and it's going to get started any minute now. John Oliver from The Daily Show is going to be joining us. He's very funny. Also, we'll meet Michael Franzese. He was a capo? Is that what he was?
Capo.
In the Columbo crime family. This dude is the real deal. I've never been so glad to not be in the same location as a guest as he is today, because he says the wrong thing, and you guys are going down. I'll be fine.
That's true.
That's all coming up. Plus, we'll meet the man who has 22 children by how many different wives? 14?
14. Oh, not wives.
Just babies.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we didn't marry him. Don't be ridiculous.
It's all coming up here on a Monday Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Kevin, I guess the crazy came to visit a few days ago.
You know I love crazy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know what it is about it I love. Lisa does not love crazy as much as I do. But we were leaving on Friday, and we were walking out together.
As we do.
Yeah. And there's a woman sitting there in a wedding dress, a full wedding dress. And I, you know, you size up and you go, okay, she's in a wedding dress. She's in the lobby of the radio station. What?
I would. My guess would have been, and I don't know how this story ends. I've not heard this off the air. My guess would have been that somebody on like Amp Radio, our sister station, is doing a promotion where you have to come down and address to win a prize. I would think that it was some sort of a contest
right.
he was playing.
But I was kind of tired on Friday. I sort of wasn't in the mood, so I sort of sped up a little bit.
We were just heading out the door. She was sitting there.
And we just thought, you know what? I think I sized her up, and I thought, I can get out before she even says anything. She goes, are you Kevin? So now I'm sucked in.
She leaps to her feet.
She leaps to her feet, and I turn around, and I see Lisa, like, drop to the ground and do the marine crawl out the window. She just out the door. She has no interest in So I said, this is Lisa May. Suckered her into it. So now...
Because Lisa's too nice to just ignore the lady and walk out.
There's no way she would do that.
No.
So the girl gets up and, you know, she starts mumbling about something. And I said, my first question was, are you certifiably insane? Because she wasn't there for a contest. She wanted something from you and me, Bean.
Okay.
And she said no. And she said, I've been trying to get a hold of you for 6 months. So again,
yeah, she's been sending letters, calling, all this stuff, and has gotten no response. So finally, she showed up in the lobby in her wedding dress.
And then she said this, and I wrote this down because there's no way I could remember exactly what it was. But she said this sentence, and then we'll go back and try and break it down. I need you and Bean to contact Conan. Is that his name, Kanan? So he can play a charity concert to save a building I married in Seattle. That sentence was said.
Okay. I'm sorry, repeat?
I need you guys to, you and Bean, to contact Kanan, or Kanan, the guy that did this. When I get older, I will be stronger. Remember that from the World Cup last year?
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh.
So she wants us to contact him. How we would do that, I have no idea. He's not in my Rolodex.
We're a radio station. We know everybody who sings everything.
I can't speed dial him. So she wants us to contact Kanan so that he can play a charity concert.
Mm-hmm.
Not in Los Angeles, but in Seattle, because they're going to tear down a building that she married.
Now, that may be where this whole thing started, because you'll remember last year I brought you that story with the interviews on the news with the woman in Seattle who married a building. Remember?
I don't remember.
I don't
that.
Either.
Is it possible that this lady is that woman from the news report?
I don't know how many women there are marrying buildings. It would have to be her.
And how did she end up in Los Angeles and at K-Rock? That's so random.
I don't know, because we're not on in Seattle.
Right.
She's down here for law school, people.
Oh, she said that later.
Oh, yes. My God.
I'm here for law school. That's right.
So otherwise, I guess she'd be trying to do it there. And apparently there is housing for kids, for orphans in this building.
It's a low-income type housing community.
Yeah. So that's part of why she married the building, which, by the way, is the second building she's married.
Oh, yeah, she's cheating on her first building. I forgot about that.
I was like, you're a building slut.
Hang on a sec. Let's see if we can hear her voice on this tape. I just brought up the story from when we last
did,
okay?
I'm getting married on Sunday. It's going to be a gay wedding. It's at 1 p.m. And the plan is to show the community why I love this building, because it's 107 years old. It's...
Is that her?
Yes.
You know, yeah, I think it could be.
Yes. That's her. Is her name Babylonia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Her name is Babylonia.
Yep. She was in our lobby on Friday.
And she was wearing a wedding dress in that news piece because she was marrying a building downtown, but maybe she just wears it all the time.
I think she does.
She had photos that she showed Lisa and I for quite some time. Here's a photo of me in the building. Here we are getting married by the, you know, by the priest.
Oh, my gosh.
And she went on and on about how we need to contact Kanan.
You get to meet all the celebrities. It's so unfair.
And then when we were leaving, I was thinking, wow, you know, this girl's crazy. So she started following us out to the parking lot. And I don't know if you noticed this, Lisa, but I stood there next to you and talked to you, because if she was going to take down a license plate number...
It was going to be mine.
And be crazy. I figure you've had a good run. Right?
You've got more life in you.
Yeah. So then she went to her car and left, and then I went over to my car.
Kevin also said, as she was leaving, Lisa will be your contact person.
That's right. If you need anything else from us, get a hold of Lisa.
Perfect.
So Babylonia paid us a visit, and we need to set up a charity concert in Seattle.
Done and done, right?
We'll put that together.
All right.
Yeah.
It is Monday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Ralph Garman joins us now with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Wolverine, as expected.
came in number one this weekend, racked up $55 million in ticket sales. A little bit less than expected by their producers of Wolverine. They were looking for about 65 mil, so they were a little disappointed this weekend, but still,
not bad at all. Yeah, that's great.
The Conjuring was two at the box office with $22 million. Despicable Me came in third, then Turbo, and Grown Ups 2. Number six was Red 2, Pacific Rim, The Heat, R.I.P.D., and Fruitvale Station rounding out the top ten.
The Anthony B. Jones movie?
How dare you?
That's right. Of course, Sharknado is still in the news because they've announced a limited theatrical release of Sharknado. They are milking this Sharknado, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Sharknado 2, of course, in the works. However, may not be good news for Tara Reid. Story coming out of PrezHilton.com is that producers are interested only in bringing back Ian Ziering from the original for this go-round against Sharknado, and they would be looking for a more high-profile actress to be his love interest in this film. So Tara might get booted out of the Sharknado franchise.
How do you not make a second Sharknado? I mean, the acting was all bad. She did stand out as worse than most, but come on.
Well, I guess they figure someone, due to the press, they could have someone even more high profile step in and give a little more bang for their buck.
Octomom, that's my guess.
Shannon Elizabeth is doing these days. Maybe they work their way through the American podcast and find someone who wants to participate. Of course, while we're talking about sci-fi and sharks, you're not going to want to miss August 22nd's original sci-fi movie, Ghost Shark.
Ghost Shark.
Yes, Ghost Shark is
all
next
right
in the pantheon of shark movies from sci-fi. Ghost Shark. I'm guessing it's a shark that's a ghost.
But can it hurt you then?
Good question.
Because ghosts
maybe just eats ghosts. Maybe if you're a ghost, then a ghost shark will come and get you. So you have to be like a paranormal investigator and help the ghosts get from eating from the shark.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm at a loss for that one.
Star Wars news. We're going to get a lot of Star Wars news between now and 2015. Looks like John Williams has been locked in to score the next Star Wars movie, so we'll get more classic Star Wars music from John Williams.
Is there anything more classic than that?
He's done all the Star Wars films. Looks like he's going to do number seven as well. And over the weekend, there was a big Star Wars convention in Germany. And surprise, surprise to all the little Germans over there, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Peter Mayhew, Anthony Daniels, Ian McDiarmid, Warwick Davis, and Jeremy Bullock, the entire cast of Return of the Jedi showed up.
Wow.
To greet their German fans. Harrison Ford, however, did not appear. His representatives say he is too stinking rich. Doesn't have to. Oh, R2-D2 wasn't there. Because he's dead. Speaking of dead, singer-songwriter J.J. Cale has passed away.
J.J. Cale.
He died Friday night of a heart attack at the age of 74. You don't know J.J. Cale.
No.
But you know his songs.
Oh.
Wrote a couple smash hits for Eric Clapton. A little song called After Midnight. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
After Midnight, we're gonna let it all hang down.
That was, you know that one, right, Kevin?
Once Ralph butchered it, I recognized it, yes.
Cocaine?
Sure.
Da-na-na-na. Da-na. Boom-ba-ding-ding. Ba-ba-boom.
Call Me the Breeze, the Lynyrd Skynyrd song. That was his.
Yeah.
A lot of his
I don't know.
That's Call Me the Breeze right there. And while we're talking about songs, it's the 50th anniversary of Louie Louie being recorded. The Kingsmen smash hit Louie Louie. You've been into that one, Kevin, right?
50 years ago.
50 years ago. Probably best known from Animal House. It plays a big role in Animal House. The only reason I bring this up is because it's kind of a fascinating story that
Louie, 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 Louie.
Nope, that's a different song.
Different song.
Louie, Louie. Oh, I said, we got to go. Yeah.
Louie, 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 Louie.
No. So parents were so concerned with what the unintelligible lyrics of Louie, Louie were that they contacted the government.
What?
And the FBI had to investigate as to whether the band violated federal obscenity laws with the lyrics. They banned the song until they could investigate it.
You can't understand a word of it.
Well, that's what the FBI found out. They said that the lyrics were unintelligible at any speed. And so there was no way they could prove that the lyrics were actually filthy, disgusting, obscene lyrics. And so they had to lift the ban on the song Louie Louie. But Louie Louie, one of a few rock songs investigated by the FBI.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah. The FBI! Yeah, that's right, the FBI. I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, how would you like to go to one of our patented, high-class, special K-Rock movie events? This one is very cool. It is the premiere of Elysium.
Yay!
Can't wait for that movie.
Yeah. Of course, Matt Damon stars along with Jodie Foster, Charto Copley, also one of the stars. It is brought to you by Neil Blomkamp, the director of District 9. This is his sophomore effort. And I have been connected up with this film for years now because I did the panel for it not this past year, but the year before at Comic-Con. And then we did a special sneak peek event with Matt Damon and the director and Charlton Copley. And we had a bunch of people come in and take a little glimpse at some of the unseen footage. This looks outstanding, and I cannot wait to finally see it in movie theater. You, however, my friends, if you're lucky enough, we'll attend the premiere at the Regency Village Theater in Westwood on August the 7th. Here's all you have to do. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First four callers who get through at that number get a pair of passes to the premiere of Elysium. And if you miss out, it's in theaters everywhere Friday, August the 9th. So you can check it out then. Today's celebrity birthday is Allison Mack from Smallville. She's 31 years old today. I always liked her. She was cute.
Yeah.
She was Chloe, the intrepid reporter friend of Clark Kendall in that show.
Mm-hmm. I liked her too.
Danger Mouse from Gnarls Barkley, 36 years old today. Josh Radner, Ted on How I Met Your Mother, he's 39. Stephen Dorff is 40 years old today. Will Wheaton, probably best known from Stand By Me and Star Trek The Next Generation.
Will Wheaton.
He is Will Wheaton, 41 years old today. And singer, bassist, legend, Hall of Fame inductee, Geddy Lee of Rush.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Is that the part you wanted?
That's fine.
We don't have that part.
This is fine. Geddy Lee is 60 years old today. Looks good for 60. Must be all that maple syrup they drink up there in Canada.
Once his voice changes, though, man, it's going to be different for him.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, just announced it's K-Rock Road Trip USA 2013, or 2012 as it says on my paperwork, because this is K-Rock.
It does say 2012, so you get to go last year.
Stop number one is the Outside Lands Festival in San Francisco with another great lineup this year, including the Red Hot Chili Peppers, also Phoenix, Nine Inch Nails, Vampire Weekend, and more all week long here on the Kevin Amini Show at 9:10. We'll give you a chance to get on the standby boarding list, and then throughout the day, just after noon, just after 3, and just after 6 o'clock. You can get those details at krock.com.
There are some strange people in the world, and the next one we're going to highlight either has 22 kids by 18 different women or 18 kids by 17 different women, depending on which report you watch.
Okay.
So he doesn't really even know.
I don't think
he knows.
That's
what I'm thinking.
I don't think he knows. But he's not terribly worried about it.
Now, before you play the tape, what NBA team does he play for?
He does not play for the NBA.
Oh.
Nope.
He's missed his calling.
He doesn't have time. This is a reporter interviewing him about how many kids he has, and I believe he's outside a courthouse because they're trying to get some kind of child support from him, which he can afford none of.
Right.
$0.
When you've got that many kids, and I don't know, I guess I'll find out what this guy does for a living or what his financial situation is. I mean, even if they take you to court and
they win, right?
What do you have? You give each of them $1 a month? I mean, this guy can't provide decent child support for that many kids. There's just no way.
No, but you'll find out what he does provide in this report.
Are you a good father?
If I wasn't, go in there and ask them, how many times have I ran? Every time they done call, I come. I come for anything. And it doesn't matter. These are my kids we talking about right here, my siblings. Nobody else's.
I understand, and that's why I wanted to ask you. And you seem like a good guy. How many children do you have?
All right, now here's where he tries to Recap the number of kids.
And that is not a difficult question for most parents.
No.
Roughly 18.
Okay, now.
Roughly.
There's no roughly involved in kids. You either have a kid or you don't. Maybe it's just he has some he's not sure about.
Uh-huh.
Roughly 18. 18 kids.
Wow, that's... he must come around in a lot.
Yes, he must. So then he continues.
By how many mothers?
17.
There you go. 18 kids, 17 women.
Now,
that's a guy who's looking for trouble.
Once you've had the first one, maybe it happens again, but you make sure it never happens after that. If you're indiscriminately impregnating women, don't. Haven't we come up with some way to prevent pregnancy?
Nope. You can't prevent it. It's weird. You would think the medical science field would be able to come up with it, but no.
Sure.
They can't.
You can see why some people are going to say that's a little bit odd.
Well, that'll be okay. They're my kids. I love my kids, and I can care less what anybody thinks about it.
Are you able to pay child support?
All right, so there's the big question.
Yes.
How do you support 18 kids?
I can't pay no child support right now. They know I can't pay them no child support right now.
They know that. I don't know why they're bringing me to court. Yeah, I got nothing.
But I got love.
I got love.
I guess.
But I got no money.
Why do you think I'm out here mentoring and talking to kids and doing all this stuff? It's whatever it is, man.
By the way, that's a good... You know how we always have our non-answer answers?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. You need to add that one to it.
It is whatever it is.
It is what it is. Because it's strangely impossible to argue with.
Yep, you can't argue with that. It happens to be true.
You get what I'm saying? Whatever.
Do you think you'll have any more children? I mean, you're a young man.
Don't want no more kids. I want to be fixed. I got kids right now that's 15, 16, and 17 years old. They'll miss.
Let me ask you this. It's a lot of kids. I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you name them all?
Oh, that is the best question ever.
I don't
ever.
Want to put you on the spot.
I love it. Can you name your kids?
By the way, he's, I don't know that they've said this in the piece, Kevin. He's 33 with his 18, Jeez. Approximately 18 children.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I can name them all.
Give it a shot.
Do you really want me to do this?
Go ahead. Can you name a few of them? You said 17.
Hey, look, all my boys' name is Orlando.
Okay.
All of his boys.
That's awesome.
His name is Orlando, so the baby mamas named the kid after their daddy. I wonder how many of those women know that there are other little Orlandos running around.
Orlando, stop it. The whole room goes quiet. All right, so now they're not exactly Orlando.
One of my boys' name is Tashawn. One of them is Quarlando. Then I got Orlandria, Onisha, Omika. Okay, you get what I'm saying? I can name them. I got Miracle, Tamia. I got Will. I got them everywhere. I got them. Hey, I named them. I named these kids. Me.
So he's trying to make the point that he's the one that gave him the name, not the mom.
Uh-huh.
I would love to meet some of these moms.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Is your hope, and you can go back and forth on me, but... Are you able to have a relationship with any of the mothers at all?
Yeah,
all of
them.
They're not any of them.
No, no, no.
Okay.
Hey, listen. I have relationships with every last one of them.
Liar.
He has relations with every last one of them. That much we know.
Some of them are better than others, but we still communicate. At the end of the day, one thing about mothers is this. When the kids are small, they're like a mother's priority. What I mean by that is mothers deal with them better. When they're smaller.
And I don't have to do anything about it.
It's as if when they turn 10, 11, 12, I really have to pull out the big guns. You get what I'm saying?
But will you be there for them as the father? You have all these children.
If they kill me or if I don't die in a car wreck or none of that, I'm here.
But how do you father to that many children with that many women? It's hard to be in more than one place at once, isn't it?
It's called cell phones. It's called pick them up. You got to have it. You got to have it worked out.
Right.
You're going
to
get snipped. But what about contraception? Was that just not an option for you?
I was young. Ambitious. I was just young and ambitious, and I loved women. Hey, you can't knock no man for loving women. Now, what I didn't know when I turned 33, everything that I did from 16 to 18, it's biting me. It's biting me now.
It's biting them now because all of the kids are wanting money.
USA!
Yep.
USA!
You can't
USA!
Knock him.
USA! Not for loving women.
You can't knock him for loving women.
Ladies like you?
The ladies love me. They don't like me. They love me.
Yes, they do.
Oh. A
lot of babies.
So the big guns is a cell phone.
Did I believe
read that right?
So.
He brought out the big guns?
He will occasionally call one of them.
All right.
Orlando.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins, I was seriously dreading a summer without Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, but John Oliver has been great, really great. Please tell him we are loving him out here, says Cindy in Long Beach.
I got to tell you, since Stewart passed away, I really think The Daily Show has taken a turn for the better.
What? Jon Stewart's coming back. He hasn't passed away. He's just off making a movie. But the man who did replace him for the summer and is still doing so is on with us right now. John Oliver joins us on the Kevin and Bean
Show. Hey, John. Good morning. He's not dead. I promise he's not dead.
He's still alive. Okay. That's your story.
He's so, the trunk of my car. I'll feed him a lettuce leaf each
night. So you heard from Cindy in Long Beach. She's a go. She's thumbs up. She's a positive.
One at a time. I'll take them on individual cases.
You were uniquely prepared to be the guy to go behind the desk because you've been working for The Daily Show for a long time as a correspondent. You're used to being in front of people. You do stand-up. You hosted other things. Was it still terrifying night one when you took over?
Yes. It was kind of beyond terrifying. It was kind of a gut-swirling mayhem in my body and mind. It was deeply, deeply weird to be sitting behind that desk and feeling how weird everyone in that room thought it was as well. You kind of have even the staff and so on here just looking at you going, please don't mess this up.
Right.
please don't mess this up.
And did it ever get any easier, or when you go on set tonight, is it still going to be weird?
Still a little weird, to be honest. It's got easier in that, you know, my heart rate is down to a safe level each night.
Good.
And it's fun. But, yeah, it's still strange. You know, when that music starts and the camera swoops in, you still think, where is he?
Yeah. It's got to be a little weird, too, that it's not really your show.
It's not my show at all.
You're just a placeholder until a great placeholder, but a placeholder until he gets back.
Yeah, I'm just keeping his throne warm.
Right.
That's all I am. I'm like one of those cheap gifts you buy from airport magazines to keep your bed warm when you're away.
I want to ask you about one episode in particular, and I apologize that I did not see it, but I saw a reference to it in an article, and it was when you had Aaron Sorkin on. And look, he's an intimidating guy. It'd be hard for me to interview because I would just feel so dumb sitting next to a guy like that.
Yeah.
And then something unusual happened in the studio that night, John. What was it?
Well, we lost all power. We got halfway through the show and there was this awful sound coming out of the speakers, and then everything went black, all the screens and everything. And it was pretty much akin to the anxiety dreams that I'd had. What was going to happen? There was going to be some physical reaction from the electricity of the studio of something is wrong here.
The electricity said, hell no.
Exactly. It said, not a brick.
So what happened? Were you able to still tape something, or was that just the show was just a bust?
No, we got some cameras from upstairs. There were two cameras upstairs that luckily had batteries in them. So we sat on the set in partial darkness.
Oh, wow.
And filmed an interview on two cameras. He was amazingly gracious at a point where he definitely did not need to be so.
Right.
And I'm sure you felt, look, it was completely out of your hands. It wasn't your fault. But, I mean, he's a guest in your house, and I'm sure you just like, oh, please don't let this happen. No.
Of course. I mean, it worked out fine because he was so much fun about it. But, yeah, absolutely. And it didn't help that as it was happening, all the crew guys kept whispering in my ear, you know, this has never happened.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I was going to ask if that ever happened to Stewart.
Never.
Not once.
In 15 years. It never happened to Kilbourne.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Well, I think we know where your place in the universe is, John Oliver. Let me ask you one other thing, because you had a great summer of news. You couldn't have asked for more great,
amazing,
hilarious stories to talk about, you know, with the Anthony Weiner and so many.
Yeah. And the royal baby coverage.
The royal baby. The royal baby was what I was going to ask. Are you like some big traitor to go on TV and make fun of that? I don't think so,
because people in Britain really don't care. I do think the American media cares more than the Queen does.
Oh, man.
Look, I'm glad there's a healthy baby there, and that my emotion kind of ends there. I'm good. It doesn't matter.
Not a healthy baby. The best baby that's ever been born, John.
In the history of the universe, that's correct.
Exactly, yeah.
Anything short of this baby bringing back the glory days of the British Empire is a crushing disappointment.
No pressure there.
It's already been disappointed. That baby's been around for a week, and it hasn't done anything.
Yeah, I've seen no movement in the unemployment numbers at all over there.
Nothing. Baby.
Our remaining moments with John Oliver. He is this week again hosting The Daily Show in for John Stewart, who will be back in a couple weeks. But you have another show on Comedy Central that you wanted to hit to on Friday nights. Tell us about your stand-up show.
Yeah, well, it's a full season of my stand-up show. It's on 11 o'clock on Friday nights, which means for people already justifiably sick enough of me, there is a little more of me at the end of the week.
Excellent.
So it's The Daily Show slot on a Friday, and it's me introducing fantastic comedians for half an hour.
And who do you have?
We had Reggie Watts last week. We got Tom Lennon coming up. We got some new comedians like Brooke Van Poppelen, who's fantastic. Jesse Klein. There's a smorgasbord of humor for you.
Is this your kind? Is this your job to go out and find the people, or do they bring them to you and say this might be a good?
A little bit of both. Yeah, I mean, I see people around and think, oh, that you know, someone's very funny, and maybe they've not been on TV doing stand up before, and it's nice to give them that opportunity.
I see you sitting on a throne. And then they bring in somebody, and you go, be funny. And then they either die or they get on the show.
It's like Caesar. It's thumbs up, thumbs down.
Right.
Thumbs up, you get a 6 minutes long television. Thumbs down, you die. Yeah.
Well, we don't on this program, we have a policy of not being in favor of foreigners coming over and taking Americans' jobs. But we're gonna give you a pass, John, because you're doing an excellent job on both shows. So keep up the good work.
And
thank you very much for the time on the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Oh, it's great to speak to you guys.
Thank you. If you're like Kevin and me and grew up loving mob movies, you're going to love this new show on the Nat Geo channel called Inside the American Mob. We've got a guest for you next hour, your chance to ask a mobster with Michael Francis. He's going to be in. He was a former capo of the Colombo family. This is a big time deal, this
guy.
Yeah.
A little worried. Got to be honest.
He knows what he's talking. I hope he doesn't. I hope he's a great interview, but that he doesn't tell us anything that he's not supposed to tell us. I don't want to be involved in any way.
Well, we'll start that way. We don't want to know too much.
Anyway, ask a mobster in the 8 o'clock hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, we have to revisit a conversation that we had on Friday. Lisa, do you remember the amazing tweet that Kevin sent out on Friday?
Was this the one about the star of Fruitvale Station?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Actor Michael B. Jordan, who's the star of Fruitvale Station. We love him. We've had him on before. He was on Friday Night Lights, on Parenthood. He was on The Wire. He's a great actor. Had him on the show a couple of times now. Kevin was excited about having him on, excited about seeing the movie, so decided he'd tweet out about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he tweets out the trailer for this Fruitvale Station movie starring our guest, Anthony B. Jones.
It's Michael B. Jordan.
It's not at all like Michael B. Jordan, really, except for
know,
the B.
I don't know how I got both first and last name wrong. I really can't figure that out.
So it was obvious. Look, Kevin knows he's losing it. He understands that. He understands that he's, you know, he's almost at Alzheimer's.
How but
it
dare was really, you? I am sharp.
It was really troubling him where Anthony B. Jones might have come from. So I guess you gave it some thought sitting back there in the corner, Kevin, and you came up with at least one possible answer how it might have happened?
Well, before I got mocked heartily, I told you guys that I used to read to my kids Junie B. Jones. It was a series. I don't know if that was the author or the lead girl's name.
Uh-huh.
But there was, you know, there's 15 books, and I used to read them to the kids all the time. And then the mocking began, and everybody,
Kevin can't read, Kevin can't read.
Because we've heard you read. How are you reading to other people? How are they supposed to follow the story?
They were young. They didn't know how bad I was. I actually have an album out, and a lot of people don't know this, but I have an album out where I read stories for kids. Yeah.
No, I was actually speechless there.
I was waiting for the punchline.
There's no punchline.
Really?
Wait.
Kevin reads to kids.
You not only read to your kids,
right,
but that you're so good at it,
right,
that you make your reading of children's books available to other parents?
I guess it got out through the baby grapevine that I was good. And so they all called and said, would you mind putting it on tape so that we can play it for our kids? Because we can't.
Do you have any of you like this Junie B. Jones
that
I've never even heard of? Because I can't even imagine you reading to your kids.
All right, here's the first one is Junie B. Jones. This is me reading, and it's for children. And I would appreciate it if you wouldn't mock me.
All right.
Because it's a serious endeavor.
My name is Junie B. Jones. B stands for business. I don't like Beatrice. I just like B, and that's all. I'm almost 60 years old. Almost is when you get to go to kindergarten. Kindergarten is where you go to meet new friends and not watch TV. Party bus.
I don't know that the kids need to be introduced to party buses at that age.
Oh, my God.
I also do green eggs and ham.
Oh, that was a favorite when I was a child.
You want to hear a little of that?
Sure.
I am Sam's. I am Sam's. Sam's I am. That's Sam I Am. That's Sam I Am. I do not like a Sam I Am. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them Sam and Ham. I do not like egg greens and ham. Would you like them here or there? I would not like them here. I would not like them here anywhere. I do not like eggs green, ham green. I do not like them ham, Sam, ham.
Those kids were dicks when we recorded that.
I'm not sure that they're getting the full impact of Dr. Seuss's rhymes with you reading them.
How dare you?
I'm just suggesting maybe it's a little harder to follow along the way you do it. This is incredible that other parents are playing this for their kids.
All over the country, all over the world, Bean. How about One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish? How about that?
Oh, I remember that one too.
One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, Black Fish, Blue Fish, Old Fish, New Fish. Some are red and some are blue, and some are old and some are new. Some are sad and some are glad, and some are very, very bad. Why is the blue fish, the fish that paints the face is red?
I think I'm doing good work, and I don't appreciate your mockery.
Had a little band out of Britain named Bastille join us in studio a few days ago here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Their awesome song is called Pompeii, and that's up next here on the show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Wolverine, as expected, debuted at number one. $55 million made it the number one movie in America over the weekend. The Conjuring was number two with $22.1 million. Then Despicable Me 2 came in with $16 million. It made it number three. Turbo was fourth. Grown Ups 2 was fifth. Red 2, number 6, with $9.4 million. Then Pacific Rim, The Heat, R.I.P.D., and in limited release, Fruitvale Station, of course, starring Anthony B. Jones.
Oh, he's good. Mr. Yeah. Jones is good.
That's good work.
That Grown Ups 2 has made over $100 million domestically.
Yes. Yes, it has.
People like Adam Sandler movies.
Yes. Yes, they do. It's inexplicable.
Grown Ups 3.
You know it's going to happen.
Why the hell not?
This is America, Bean. Amanda Bynes, the saga continues. In court last Friday, her parents tried to get conservatorship over her affairs. Her mother, Lynn, appeared in court in front of a judge. He, however, ruled there is simply no need for that right now because Amanda will remain hospitalized for the next 2 weeks. When that happens, everyone will troop back to court on August the 9th for more fun and games and figure out the future of Ms. Bynes. Her parents, Lynn and Rick, say that they are truly afraid she will die if there's no intervention. They told the judge she's paranoid. She's obsessed with plastic surgery. She thinks she's constantly being watched. In their petition, they cited the fact that when Amanda left New York City and turned up California at the incident where she was setting fire to that lady's driveway, they asked her how she got to California, and she said she cabbed it.
That's an expensive cab ride.
Oh, can you imagine how happy that cab driver was?
Whew. Now, we heard that she came on a private plane with her dog. That's what really happened, right?
Yes. Yes.
But she thought she took a cab somehow.
Amanda said she took a cab. She is so paranoid, she covers up smoke alarms with towels wherever she is because she fears there are cameras inside them.
Okay.
She, of course, is obsessed with feeling that she and others are ugly. That is her go-to slam.
Yeah.
And she's engaging in potentially dangerous plastic surgery. And financially, she is being reckless. Starting off with a net worth of about $4 million in the bank, she's burned through almost $2 million of that. Just since May, she's written $63,000 in checks and has withdrawn $200,000 twice, once in June and once in July.
Cash?
Cash.
And has nothing to show for it, though. That's what's curious.
As far as they
right?
know, she's homeless.
Wow.
So,
wow.
She's currently under observation. She has been given meds. They said she has appears to be symptoms of schizophrenia, where she'll be lucid for long stretches and then just snap. And she herself has told the doctors apparently there is a good Amanda and a bad Amanda.
Ooh, that's not so funny.
No. She needs a blanket, a dark room, and Uncle Kevin to come in and read to her.
She does. One fish, two fish, four fish, six fish. Taylor Swift's a whore.
How dare you?
That's true.
According to sources, she is now trying to hunt for a real guy who will take her out in old-fashioned dates, and she doesn't want him to be famous. She thinks a real dude will give her stability and make her feel loved, not used.
Where's this alleged quote coming from? Who's putting these words in her
mouth? She needs to not be a whore, first of all.
That's the biggest problem, is her whorosity.
It's science.
So, B, I'm just saying, you got a shot, man. She's looking for a regular guy.
No, yeah. Please.
You know, as romantic as Bean is, taking out on all those old-fashioned dates to Denny's right. And IHOP. Oh, she'll have the time of her life.
Bean should have been born in the early 1900s.
Yes, because then you could go down to the general store.
Right.
And sit across the pickle barrel with a checkerboard, wait for the Pony Express to come by.
Sounds like pretty fast living to me.
Scientology's in trouble these days with their celebrity clientele.
Uh-oh. Now what?
According to Star Magazine, a school funded by Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, known as the New Village Leadership Academy in Calabasas, California, had to close down last month. Why? Well, it turns out the school was forthcoming about its religious teachings, which does teach the tenets of Scientology, and many parents withdrew their children from the academy and took off.
Oh, so they didn't. The parents didn't know that going in?
Apparently not.
Wow.
And once that was discovered, it caused
that's a bad surprise.
Attendance to decline to the point where the school could no longer continue.
Do you guys get that creepy Scientology vibe off of Will Smith? Because I don't.
I do.
I had no idea.
Oh,
he was at all involved.
I don't get that off of him, but man.
Yep. It's that same used car salesman. Fake glee that Tom Cruise seems
just
to have.
Too happy.
Everything's positive and upbeat. Oh, yeah, my kids, they're great. They, you know, they run their own lives and whatever goes and whatever makes them happy. And it just seems like living in a different world than the rest of us. Tara Reid may not be in Sharknado 2. Well, poor Tara Reid. She can't catch a break. Ben, if her career's over, she gets one little blip on the radar. One little moment of relevancy again, and then they take that away from her.
It's a crappy blip.
But still, the people were talking about her for something that wasn't her boob hanging out on the red carpet or her falling down drunk coming out of a club. It actually had to do with a TV role that she was in.
And also, Ralph, you know what it's like being an actor. It's nice to get a paycheck and maybe keep your health benefits.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, that's first work she's had in a while.
Yeah, but the residuals from American Pie alone would keep her in health benefits. She doesn't worry about that. But the fact is, they're doing a second Sharknado, and looks like they're going to pass on her and maybe try to find an even more high-profile actress to play Ian Ziering's love interest in
the Farrah Abramson?
Farrah Abramson would be a great choice, I think.
They could Jolie.
They could do Backdoor Sharknado.
There you go.
Now that's something I tune in to see.
Only one thing gaped larger than the tornado.
Oh, don't use that
We're
word.
Not saying what it is. It's Backdoor Sharknado. Teen Mom.
And since we're talking about sci-fi channels and their magical movies, August 22nd, circle your calendars, boys and girls. The next high-profile original movie from the sci-fi channel, Ghost Shark, is coming to us. Ghost Shark! Ghost Shark!
Ghost Shark.
Damn you, Ghost Shark!
I'm just going to Ghost Shark.
I'm going to work everything into it until they bring me back.
I don't know why I should be afraid of a ghost shark.
You don't know, man.
You don't know.
You weren't there. Open up a blog. Discovery Channel, by the way, speaking of sharks, Shark Week begins Sunday, August the 4th.
Sunday. That's this Sunday.
Yeah. Don't forget. Shark Week is now considered the longest-running program event on cable. It's the 26th annual Shark Week this year.
Wow.
Can you believe it's been going for 26 years?
But you got to sprinkle in a little Sharknado or two-headed shark or swamp shark or
this is straight-up sharks.
No, I know, but I'm saying.
Real-deal sharks.
It's a little
over their Discovery Channel. By the way, if you happen to live in Silver Spring, Maryland, or if you're just visiting, you want to go by the Discovery Channel headquarters because every year during Shark Week, Chompy, the giant shark,
Chompy.
Comes out of their building. They build the giant shark that comes out of their building. So you can check out Chompy if you have to be in the area.
Chompy.
Sounds like something we'd make up. Let's get on the phone. I believe Chompy the Shark's on the phone.
Let me write that down for tomorrow.
Yeah, I bet you will. Today's celebrity birthday is Allison Mack. You know her. She was on Smallville. Played Chloe on that television program. She's 31 years old today. Danger Mouse of Gnarls Barkley. is 36. Josh Radnor, he plays Ted on How I Met Your Mother. Does, have we found out how he met his kid's mother
yet? I don't
know. Has he met the mother? Because I got an asshole on that show. You better just get to the mother, will you, for God's sakes?
I don't think so. Dave says the last season coming up.
This is the last season coming up?
That's what he said.
So we're going to find out how he met the kid's mother?
Dave, talk to us on the air.
Yeah, it looks like this is the last season. They showed the mother in the last episode of season 8. So, but we're going to find out how we meet her, how he meets her.
So How I Met Your Mother is in season 9.
And they're just getting around to meeting her. That is a lying BS show right there.
Some stalling going on there.
Stephen Dorff is 40 years old. Actor Will Wheaton is 41 years old. And Geddy Lee of Rush!
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Singer, bassist of Rush is 60 years old today. Just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by Dave Grohl.
One of the great voices of all time.
Yeah, great rock voice. He doesn't quite sound like that anymore, but there'll always be the record. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, we've been looking forward to this one all day long. Nat Geo debuted a new program last night, a six-parter called Inside the American Mob. And one of the gentlemen who is featured quite prominently on the show is in studio with us right now. He is Michael Francis, former associate for the Columbo crime family. How are you, Michael?
How are you? Good to be here.
How are you doing so far?
We're doing great. So far, you're okay.
You've never seen more people buzzing around a guest. We have a lot of big guests on this show. You've never seen the staff at attention. Hey, can we get you some water? Hey, do you need some coffee? Hey, do you need a pillow to sit on? I mean, we're going out of our way here, buddy.
Well, you're doing great so far.
Describe.
I'm impressed.
Describe for the listeners your position in the family, in which, like, there's five families in New York, and we're going back to 1970?
70s and 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Five families.
I was a capo regime in the Colombo crime family. And that's, you know, you start out as a soldier. I was inducted in 1975, Halloween night. And for 5 years, I was a soldier. And then in 1980, I got appointed to capo regime, or captain, as it's known.
And how many of those are there in a typical family?
In our family, we had about 115 made members. There were 15 capos at that time.
Really? So,
yeah.
Wow, okay.
You were born into this lifestyle, and you had a choice whether to be involved in it or not?
Yeah, pretty much. My dad was the underboss of the Colombo family back in the 60s, and so I was born into the life, you know. But my dad originally didn't want this for me. He wanted me to get an education, go to school, be a doctor. And he was pretty adamant about that, and that's the road I was on until he got in trouble and things changed.
He was in jail, and he had a conversation with you that was pretty much – do you want to do this?
Yeah. I mean, he got indicted in a big federal case, convicted, sentenced to 50 years, and it was devastating for me as I was very close with Dad. He was 50 when he went in. I figured that's a death sentence.
Sure.
And So we had a conversation in Leavenworth Penitentiary because I had gotten very close with Joe Colombo, who was our boss. And, you know, I started to meet a lot of Dad's friends. And why are you going to school? You got to help your old man out. So we had a conversation in prison. And he was a little bit upset at first because he wanted that from me. Plus, he didn't want to hear it from my mother.
He was upset that you said you wanted to be in the life.
Yeah, I said, right? I didn't say I wanted to be in the life. I said, Dad, I lost interest in school. If I don't help you out, you're going to die in prison. And I didn't know what exactly I was going to do, but his words were, well, if you're going to be on the street, I want you on the street the right way. And in his mind, the right way was to become a member of his life.
Right.
What was Dad convicted for?
He was convicted for masterminding a nationwide string of bank robberies. And I got to tell you this, you know, my dad did a lot of bad things in his life. My dad is 96 years old. He's the oldest living made man in America. He's the oldest living federal inmate, and he's been in this life over 66 years. So he's a legend, and did a lot of bad things. So did I. I pled guilty to a crime I was guilty of. But that particular case that my dad's done all this time on, he was 100% innocent, and I'll take that to my grave. My dad was no bank robber. Absolutely.
How did they convict him of it? They just
painted
him as the bad guy?
Yeah, I mean, it was, it was during that time, too. I mean, everybody was rah-rah government, and hey, if you got indicted, you were probably guilty, they thought. A little different today,
sure,
fortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, he got convicted, and that was it.
I think he was innocent of the charges, too, then.
I
just want to go right on record.
Confirm that. There's no question about it in my mind.
Thank you. We're going to take a
polygraph?
Yes.
No. If we can be on a jury for the retrial, you can count on us. Didn't you say on the show that I saw last night on the Nat Geo channel that your dad killed lots of people?
Well, you know, I mean, look, he was known to be an enforcer, and his reputation was that, I don't know, the government said he killed 30, 40, 60 people. The number keeps changing, but, you know, look, my dad grew up in a time when, you know, there was a lot of work being done to family. Now, you know, I mean, obviously he and I, we don't discuss those things because you just don't.
You never had that conversation in jail or?
You know what? My dad told me one thing, and I'll never forget it, and it actually saved me. He said, Mike, if you and I go out and do something, and we commit a crime, 1 minute after we do it, if you say to me, remember what happened, I'll say, what are you talking about? In other words, you never discuss anything. And so, you know, that's the way we live.
But you were on the special last night. It was sort of weirdly funny in that you said 40, I don't think 60. I mean, really, but 40 is bad enough, don't you think?
Yeah, it's kind of like Wiener, if you know what's gone in New York. I don't
Anthony
think it
Wiener?
Was 12. Might have been less than 12. You know, somewhere around there, yeah.
All right. Michael Francis, let me ask you this. Does when you're working for your family and you've got a job to do and you spent a lot of years just carrying out whatever orders they were giving you, there was no opportunity to say no. You kind of swore you would do whatever they asked you to do. Does morality ever cross your mind when you're doing some of these things that you know will hurt people?
You know, understand this. When you come into the life, you make an agreement that you have a very strict policy to follow. If you violate those policies, rules, and regulations, you could pay with some serious consequences. So you know that you could be called upon to do that to one of your brothers if he makes a mistake. And in the same token, they can do that with you. So you figure the playing field is level. You know, it's we understand we're adults. We're over 21. And, you know, allegedly there's a lot of honor and respect in that life. So you look at it at that point in time, especially with the mentality I had, as a very honorable thing. You know,
why did you say allegedly?
Well, because when you get into the life, after a while, you find out it's not all what it's cracked up to be. I mean, a lot of things go on that are dishonorable. And, you know, I saw guys, you know, pay serious consequences when they shouldn't have. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that that goes on.
Once you agree, and we're going to take your calls, by the way, if you'd like to talk to Michael, 1-800-520-1067, if you have any questions for him. If they give you, once you agree, if they give you a job to do, you turn it down, you're dead.
Well, you can't turn it down. I mean,
that's just not an option.
No, it's not an option.
You can't go, why?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You can't
even
question it.
Well, no, you can, you can disagree with something. You can try to fight for somebody and say, well, you know, let's try to solve this another way. But once the boss makes a determination, that's it. You're done. You got to do it.
What's the status of the mob today?
You know, it's still there. Five families still exist. You know, the Colombo family, we had 115 when I left. I think the number's around 100 now. But it's been greatly diminished as far as the power is concerned because in the 70s, well, the 80s, I should say, Giuliani led the charge and really seriously put a dent, put a lot of the guys away. You know, all the bosses went away. So, I mean, they took away a lot of the power. But I always say this, you know, when I was in that life, they had 1,400 FBI agents assigned to the five families. We had about 800 guys total, made guys. We had a lot of associates, but made guys. 1,400 on 800 guys. Today, all these years later, they have about 120 agents on these guys. So they take that force away because now it's all about terrorism and ID theft, and they figure, hey, they depleted us to a degree. So what's going to happen? These guys are going to build up again. I mean, they're pretty resourceful.
How are you still alive?
Another good question.
Well, you know, we need to take a break. We'll start with how are you still alive when we come back.
Sounds good.
And we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
Our guest in studio this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show is Michael Francis. He is a former associate for the Colombo crime family. Inside the American Mob is a new documentary series on the Nat Geo channel. Just debuted last night. Kevin and I both watched it. It was awesome. Those episodes repeat throughout the week. It is a 6-part series. Did you feel it was accurate, Michael? Were you happy with the job they did?
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. I was really impressed. And, you know, I've done a number of these things, and I would say that this was the most credible and most entertaining one that I've been involved in.
The thing that made it so good, I think, was that they talked to you and they talked to other people that were in the middle of it, and they talked to Giuliani and FBI agents and all different. Donnie Brasco was a big part of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were able to get to everybody, and I thought everybody did a good job.
Before the break, Kevin asked, and I'm sure you get asked this all the time as you travel around the country, how are you still alive? Like, it seems contrary to what our expectations that you would even be able to be on a radio station talking about the things that went down.
Well, it is, you know, and obviously, you know, the thought behind it is you leave that life, you either leave in a coffin or you join the government and enter a witness protection program. Obviously, I've done neither. But, you know, a couple of reasons. You know, one of the dangers of that life, or the horrible things about that life, you're in trouble. You don't know it. Your best friend walks you into a room. You don't walk out again.
Right.
Well, fortunately, I spent, you know, a lot of time in that life at a very high level. So I knew the mentality. I knew the modus operandi. I knew what these guys would do and wouldn't do. So I changed my whole lifestyle. Move out to the West Coast. You know, I didn't create patterns in my life. Didn't walk my dog same time every morning. Didn't go to the same restaurant once a week.
For how long?
For a number of years, because, you know, it was really hot for me at one point in time. The boss of my family, Persico, immediate hit on me when I walked away. My dad went along with it.
Your dad?
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a rough time. The feds kept telling me, you know, the words all over the street from our informants, you're a dead man, cooperate with us. I didn't want to do that.
You didn't do that either.
No, I wouldn't do that. But, you know, and I haven't been in a club in almost 30 years because that's a bad place for me. I know who hangs out in these places. You know, a guy makes a phone call to New York. I walk out in the parking lot. Boom. I'm gone. So
are you still concerned?
You know, I'm not concerned because everybody, Kevin, that I ran with is either dead or in prison for the rest of their lives.
Okay.
I outlasted everybody, you know, and I've been very fortunate in that regard. But, you know, I go into New York, I'm careful. I go to certain places where I know I need to watch, where it's a hot area. I'm a little bit more careful. So I don't ever sell these guys short, right. Ever.
We're going to take your calls in just a moment here. If you'd like to ask a mobster at 1-800-520-1067. Michael, have you been following the Whitey Bulger trial?
I have to a degree, yes.
What'd you make of that witness who turned up mysteriously dead 8 miles from his car last week?
Yeah, well, you know what? With Whitey, anything could happen. But, you know, I got to tell you, the interesting about that, their defense is that he was never a government informant. Whitey Bulger 100% was a government informant. And the reason he fled and left is because he was given information on some of my associates in the New England family.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and they were going to kill him. And he knew about it, and the FBI tipped him off, and he took off. That's why he left. But 100% he was an informant for 20 years. And he was,
wow.
What he was doing, he was clearing the streets of Boston of all the Italian guys so that he can take over. And he was giving information on them, and we found out about it.
Fascinating. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Your questions for our guest, Michael Francis, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hit it, Steve.
Ask a mobster. Oh. If you want somebody whacked in your neighborhood, who are you going to ask?
Should we have previewed this?
I'm embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed right now.
Do you sleep with the fish? If you don't be good, who are you going to ask? Ask a mobster! Do you have to pay up or you wind up dead?
Keep going.
No, I think that's enough.
I want to meet the guy that that's singing
yes,
that song
yes.
A little bit later,
we'll point you to him.
Okay. Yes, we want you to meet him.
We are not fans of his.
All right.
Let's take Steve to get us going here. He is on line three. He has an outstanding question for you, Mr. Francis. Steve, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. Ask a Mobster.
How's it going, everybody? Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on? So, hey, any situation with the people that you run with and someone gets jammed up medically, you know, you're the captain. What's the call? I mean, do you take them somewhere or do you just kind of cut bait?
Meaning, like if someone gets shot and that has to be reported.
Meaning, can you take them to the hospital or?
Well, like, you know, you kind of want to keep a low profile, as I can imagine, you know. So,
well, now, how do you handle that?
Yeah, we had doctors that we trusted at that time if something would have happened in that way. And, you know, we had to take care of it under the table, so to speak. But, yeah, I mean, you got to take care of your own. If somebody's doing work for you, you got to take care of them.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. Let's try Kevin. He's on line two. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Big fan.
Thank you.
I was wondering, has there been any movie or television show like The Sopranos that, like, nailed what it's like to be in the mob?
Yeah, two most accurate movies, Goodfellas and Donnie Brasco. And I knew all of those guys. They portrayed him very well. Pesci was terrific. And Goodfellas, they mentioned my name, by the way. But both of those were very, very accurate. Sopranos, let me tell you this. If a mob guy was ever visiting a psychiatrist, he'd be in the trunk of the car by the end of the week, along with the psychiatrist. So,
but, not so realistic.
No. But I thought Gandolfini was terrific. You know, it's a shame what happened to him, but he played a great role. But the rest of the guys were okay. But the mob story part of it wasn't really accurate.
Now, Donnie Brasco, I didn't realize was such a big part of your story. I mean, he was pretty much trying to infiltrate the mob during the...
Yeah, well, fortunately, he started with the Columbos with our crew, and I met him during that time.
You did?
Yeah, but I didn't do any business with him. Thank God I wouldn't be here. But he didn't make it in our family. And then he met Lefty, and that's when Lefty kind of brought him. Lefty was a good guy. He was kind of happy-go. He was pretty much like Pacino played him. And so, you know, you make money with Lefty. If he thought you could make money with you, you're in.
Right.
And so he pulled Donnie in, and fortunately, it was that crew and not ours.
What did you think when it was revealed that Donnie Brasco was an FBI undercover agent?
You know, it's a shock, but I tell you, we had in our own family, too, a guy by the name of Greg Scarpa, who was one of us. You know, we found out was an undercover guy or working with the feds for over 20 years. I mean, wow. That scared me even more because I was, you know, he was a captain along with me. But, you know, we heard these things. I mean, it was shocking with Donnie Brasco, but, you know, that's what happened. You know, we started to get loose in that way. They opened the books in the 70s, started bringing a lot of guys in, and they were bringing guys in for the wrong reasons. They thought a guy was an earner. They'd bring him in, and, you know, that's why we had a lot of trouble later on.
And the stories that were described in the Nat Geo special last night about Donnie Brasco, was that the first time that the FBI had tried that approach to go in undercover?
That I know of, yeah. I mean, that was the most significant. But I want to tell you this. One thing I'm going to disagree with the show on a little bit. Donnie Brasco said he had a $500,000 contract on him. Now, I want to let this make sense to you guys. When we come into that life as a soldier, okay, we're required to do something like that. Bosses don't pay to have somebody rubbed out. There's no money ever involved. But, I mean, it sounds good. You know, $500,000 contract. But you don't pay for that kind of stuff. In a Colombo family, we had 115 guys. 15 of us were earners. The other 100 were around doing the work. You know, that's what they were required to do. So whenever you hear that, you know, $500,000, 100,000, just dismiss it right off the hand. I know Donnie and I will have an issue over that, but sure. It's okay.
You were born into this. Do you look back at it and wish you hadn't been? Do you regret?
You know, I mean, I regret some of the things that went on, of course. Now when you take a different look at it, but, you know, what could I do? I mean, people say to me, Michael, you know, are you doing what you do now to make up for what you did in the past? And you can't make up for what you did. What's done is done. But
is
you
that
just
hard
try
to deal with? Is that hard to
You know, at times, yeah. You know, because times things come back to you. You know, something will happen. And, you know, when you get out of that life, you don't get a lobotomy. I mean, I remember everything that went on pretty clearly. So at times it's, you know, it's troublesome, but you got to do the best you can.
What are you going to do?
We've got time for one more segment of phone calls for our guest. Michael Francis is here, former associate for the Colombo crime family. The show is called Inside the American Mob on Nat Geo. If you've got any questions, this is the best time you'll ever have to ask a mobster. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Our guest in studio on the Kevin Devine Show is Mr. Michael Francis. He is a former associate for the Colombo crime family. The show is called Inside the American Mob on Nat Geo channel. He also has written a couple of books, including Blood Covenant and I'll Make You an Offer You Can't Refuse. Although we tried to make an offer to get him to take out Justin Bieber for us during the song there, and he won't do it. So
I'm just about ready now. My daughter drives me crazy with this kid.
Before we get back to the calls for Ask a Mobster here on the Kevin Devine Show, the special last night, I noticed that there was Fat Sal and there was Crazy Joe, but it didn't seem like you had a colorful mob nickname. What's
oh,
up,
he has one. He just hates it.
Yeah, I hate it. I mean, I didn't have one on the street for some reason, at least not to my face, but, you know, the media tagged me as the Yuppie Don. Which, don't get insulted. That, you know, I look at California guys sometimes as yuppies. We didn't have yuppies back in New York, so I didn't like that.
That was kind of an insult to you?
Yeah, it still is. I thought I outgrew that.
Let's get to some calls now. 1-800-520-1067. Let's ask a mobster.
I'm not playing that again if you think. if that was an intro, I'm not doing that again.
All right. Let's try. Wow, we got some really good ones here. Let's try Mary. Mary is on line 5, and she's up first for our guest, Michael Francis, here on the Kevin Devine Show. Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on.
Hi. My question is, do you have any remorse for the way your actions affected the families that...
Well, you know, Mary, I want you to be clear on this. You know, sometimes we get a reputation of being guys that were, you know, rampant, running around, shooting people and hurting people like that. It wasn't that way. I mean, I had a family, I had a wife and children, and what we did among ourselves. At least certainly that was my, my involvement in that life.
What does that mean? What does that mean you did?
You know, when damage was done to people, it was done among ourselves. I mean, we're that kind of group. We didn't go outside and just rampant, you know, hurting people. Matter of fact, when I read about these drive-by shootings and about all of this stuff, it disgusts me.
Anything that's random, because in your life, there was always a reason?
It was very serious. Yeah. I mean, you didn't hurt people, and if somebody really had to pay a severe consequence. It was a lot of conversation. It went from the boss on down. I mean, we weren't cowboys like that.
Right.
And sometimes the media builds it up a different way.
But what about the families of the people who deserved it?
Well, it's
Is that tough?
It is tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it is tough. And there's no way to justify it. Don't get me wrong. You know, we can't justify it. But again, we always looked at it as a level playing field, and we all knew what we were getting involved in.
Listener Yvette writes in that she wanted to know if wives and children of mob families are off limits for attacks. Do you just strictly deal with the guys in it?
That's a great question, and 100% that's correct. We had a strict policy. You never involved the women and children. And if that was the case, obviously I would have done things differently. But I never worried about my wife and children. And to this day, I don't think that policy has ever been violated.
Wow.
And if something were to happen to you or somebody else in the mob, their wives and kids would be taken care of by the family, right?
Not really. You know, No. Unfortunately, that's one of the honorable things that's not really honorable. I mean, you're pretty much on your own, you know, unless you had a business deal with somebody and they had to keep up their end. But, you know, it's not like it should be. You know, everybody doesn't get taken care of. And that's one of the problems in that life.
Let's talk to George. Hi, George.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I just want to ask, were you ever offered a higher ranking in the family, and how that whole process of being promoted works?
Well, you know, when I got appointed a capo regime, the boss of my family, Carmine Persico, he's now doing life, but he just came to me and said, Mike, I'm making you a capo regime, a captain. That's the process.
And that's just under the underboss?
Yeah, I mean, you, captain, you can go right to be the boss.
Right to the boss.
Yeah, you don't have to go up and be the boss, and I mean, underboss and then a boss.
Tell us about the ceremony where they cut your hand. That seems like that has been shown in movies.
Yeah, very serious ceremony. It was a dimly lit room late at night. They want you to know that this is very serious. It's a very imposing situation. You walk in front of the boss. The captains are allowed to be there. And you stand in front of the boss, and he'll take a knife, cut your finger, blood drops on the floor. This is a blood oath. With me, he put I cupped my hands. He put a picture of a saint, Catholic altar card, in my hands, lit it aflame. It doesn't hurt. It burned quickly. It was just symbolic.
Right.
And he said, tonight, Michael Francis, you are born again into a new life, into La Cosa Nostra. And they tell you, violate what you know about this life, betray your brothers, and you will die and burn in hell like the saint is burning in your hands. Do you accept? Yes, I do.
You thought, and 5 minutes before that, you thought you might be killed.
No,
right?
not before
10
that.
10 minutes? I mean, it seemed like when you were walking in, you were like, they were behind me, I was
well,
scared.
No, that was a different time.
Oh, that was a different
time. Yeah,
one.
That
okay.
was a different time. That's okay. when I got that. You know when in Donnie Brasco and Pacino says, I've been sent for?
Right.
Well, I got one of those.
Oh, okay. That's
and,
what you thought. Right
yeah, that's a different time. No, when you're going in, it's a big celebration afterwards. You know, you're happy. But
you know, the way you describe it, because you're such a good storyteller, it sounds exciting and fun and like something people would want to get into. But I don't think you're recommending this life, right?
No, I mean, look, when I got into the life...
You make
life,
it sound so glamorous.
Well, it's not. You know, the thing is, and that's, you know, I speak to a lot of young kids, a lot of gangbangers. I really try to steer them away from the life. You know, they'll look at me, obviously I have credibility, and they'll go, Mike, you know that movie Goodfellas, you guys had it going on, you had the money, you had the power, you had the women. And I say, yeah, but didn't you see the end of the movie? Who got killed, who went right. to jail, who lost their family? They don't see that part. You know, and when I came into the life, I had a very idealistic view of the life. I was part of something my dad was part of. And the most alluring thing for me, guys, and I'm going to be honest with you, I miss it, was this brotherhood, this bond I had with the guys, this camaraderie among the men. I don't think there's anything more powerful than this bond among men. And, you know, I miss that at times because a lot of us got along and, you know, we had each other's backs, at least for a time. And that's the one thing about the life that I miss. Honestly.
Jasmine wants to know if you ever talk to or think about modern day gangs. Do you talk to any of those guys?
I do all the time. Yep. I work with sheriff's departments. I go into detention centers. I spend a lot of time in high schools and things like that. And I really try to impact these kids. I've been doing it for the last 15 years, and I think I've had a lot of success.
Do you ever think about if you'd gone the other way and said no to joining the family business, was there something that you think you could have done that you would have enjoyed as much and that would have helped you provide for your family as well as that job did?
Well, you know, I got a head for business, so, you know, I probably could have could have did okay and at least, you know, provided an income. Not like I made in the gas business, but it would have worked out. You know, do I look back and have regrets? Again, I tend not to look back. You know, you got to go forward in life. I think I would have been okay. Let's put it that way. Wouldn't have been as exciting, I would imagine, but
right.
I also wouldn't have had all that time in prison.
You'll regret this interview, though, right? That's for sure.
You guys might have. No, it's fun. You guys are great.
The show is terrific, you guys. I mean, as we mentioned, it really does have the actual participants, the real-life Donnie Brasco, the real-life Mayor Giuliani. You'll see Michael Francis in the documentary. It's called Inside the American Mob. It's running currently on Nat Geo. Repeats of last night's episodes throughout the week. It is a six-part series. You absolutely want to check it out. And again, Mr. Francis's books include Blood Covenant, and I'll Make You an Offer You Can't Refuse. So glad we had a chance to have you come by. We really enjoyed it. Thank you, sir.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. We'll do it again.
I can't believe you said that guy was a dick, Bean. That's a bold
statement
from you.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't even like that.
That is bold.
I can't believe, Bean, that you would go like that and just go after that guy.
Right.
Like that. That's really inappropriate.
Nothing but respect for the man. I think he's terrific.
Your mouth thinking off like that.
And the thing you said about Italians in general, I just thought was
inappropriate at best.
Are you sure we're not talking about Beer Mug here? This is more like something Beer Mug would say.
I heard you, Greasy. That's what I heard first. And then I heard Low Life.
Got a brand new Bean's Death Corner for you coming up next
Including
half hour
Bean.
Here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday. Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Bean.
Awesome we got if Bean got whacked.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd
be
not awesome. At all be awesome.
That'd be pretty cool.
He goes to get into his clown car and boom! Big clown car explosion.
I don't think our guest is whacking anybody anymore.
No, he's
I
not, but those he can do us him. A favor, right?
How dare you?
I do favors for you, don't I?
What'd you think of that guy? Pretty interesting, huh, Ralph?
Very cool dude.
It's the real deal right there.
You know, I used to hang in South Philly at a couple places that were frequented by gentlemen who
were they like rock stars
engaged
at
in
the
that
time?
Lifestyle. And they were always treated with a certain amount of quiet respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
They no one ever made a big deal about them because they don't want to attract attention.
Nobody would mouth
not
off
rock
like
star.
Bean.
Not like Bean. No, he wouldn't take
nobody
wouldn't
would
dare
mouth off
take
like
a
that.
Shot like that.
That's crazy.
But they would walk in the room, and you could definitely sense everyone sort of stiffen up a little bit and a little extra attention.
Best behavior.
Yeah.
We mentioned to good him times. That we were going to New York in a couple of weeks, Ralph, that the show was going there to broadcast. Mm-hmm. And he said, mention his name. Tell him at Umberto's on Mulberry Street, Umberto's Clam House, that you're a friend of mine. And I guess that'll get us something. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll get you something. 22 back of the head. Boom, boom. Find you in a dumpster.
And that's before you said all those bad things.
Yeah, imagine what they're going to do to you now. Yeah, right. Not never. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Wolverine.
Do not make those noises again.
Terrible.
It's Wolverine.
That doesn't sound anything like him.
$55 million. It's not him. It's an actual Wolverine.
Oh, sorry.
$55 million made it number one. Man, can't stop hitting that cash register. You're making a lot of money. Conjuring was second with $22 million. Despicable Me was third with $16 million. Turbo and then Grown Ups 2 rounded out the top five. Red 2 was sixth. Pacific Rim, The Heat, R.I.P.D., and Fruitvale Station. That were your top ten at the box office this week. And Amanda Bynes will be in the hospital a little bit longer than initially she thought. 72-hour psych hold initially was what happened last week. Now, judge has okayed her to stay inside for further evaluation and treatment for 2 weeks. And at that point, she will appear in front of the judge, and there will be a decision made regarding whether she is able to conduct her own affairs or whether her parents will get a conservatorship as they would like to have happen. She's still claiming that she's not...
That she's fine?
She doesn't need it. She doesn't need anyone watching over her affairs. But she has said that she would like to let the medications kick in before she appears in front of the judge to plead her case. So at least now it seems like she's aware that she has some sort of illness that she needs to deal with.
I don't know anything about how the brain works, but we asked Dr. Drew one time, and his speculation, he hasn't treated Amanda Bynes, is that she's the right age for schizophrenia to start in, which I didn't know that was something that happens to you in your 20s.
Drew also gave it to her. Remember?
No.
Remember he said he
that's
did
incorrect.
That?
That didn't sound right. I think he was just suggesting
when they were
that maybe
having
that's
sex,
what was going
when they're having sex, he gave her schizophrenia.
None of that happened.
He did. Miley Cyrus, she had a bit of a misstep this week. She was writing one of her friends last Tuesday saying how miserable she was, that she was crying herself to sleep, that the breakup with her fiancé had been taking its toll. I took a Xanny, she wrote, a slang word for the anti-anxiety medication Xanax. And then she texted that information to her friend. Oh, no, wait a minute. She tweeted it. Oops. The next day, Miley canceled a newspaper interview that she had to do. But she claimed she was ill due to some bad sushi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she was ill due to the fact that she hit the wrong button on her.
I've done that. That might surprise you to know.
You were trying to send a text and you made it a tweet?
Oh, yeah.
What a shock. You are usually so sharp, razor-focused. I'm surprised.
But it was spell-checked and all the links worked, right?
None of that, no.
Did you try to send it to Michael B. Jordan and end up going to Anthony B. Jones?
I don't remember, but I've done it on multiple times.
And the Biebs. Pop scrotum Justin Bieber continues his reign of terror. Now he's to our neighbors to the north in Canada. Last week, he was in a Toronto hotel room, and his throngs of Beliebers, gathered outside his balcony, hotel balcony, just hoping to catch a glimpse of their beloved singer. He stepped out onto the balcony to give him a little treat, and then gave him a little bonus treat. He leaned over the balcony and started hocking loogies down on the crowd, started spitting down on them.
He's a dick.
Wow, that's those are his adoring fans, right?
Those are his people.
Spitting. And his home country.
Yes. We thought he was just being a dick maybe because he was in America, but apparently he brings it home, too.
Huh.
Here's the problem. Several of his followers on Twitter said they would be honored and keep that spit forever if he were to spit on them. Another tweet said his saliva is like holy water.
Asshole.
If that's the case, I can only hope that you're a vampire. And it melts you right in front of us.
Holy water. What's the opposite of holy water? His spit?
We got to get our buddy Mike maybe to take a contract out on the Biebs. Celebrity birthdays today. Allison Mack from Smallville's 31 years old. Danger Mouse from Darnell's Barkley's 36. Josh Radnor, star of How I Met Your Mother, 39 years old. Stephen Dorff is 40. Will Wheaton from Star Trek The Next Generation and Stand By Me, 41 years old. And singer-bassist Geddy Lee of the legendary Canadian rock band Rush.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
He is 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All this week on K-Rock, it's K-Rock Road Trip USA 2013. Stop number one, Outside Lands Festival in San Francisco. Red Hot Chili Peppers will be there. Also Phoenix, Nine Inch Nails, Vampire Weekend, and more. Give you several chances to win each day, including coming up in about 5 minutes every morning at 9:10 this week on the Kevin Bean Show. You can qualify, get on the standby boarding list for the trip, and then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Details at krock.com.
Quick thank you to everybody who helped out with our back to school backpack drive. Uh-huh. That was on Saturday morning, and everybody that donated to the website, everybody that came down there, we got over 2,100 backpacks.
Oh my God!
Filled with school supplies.
That is awesome.
So thank you, thank you, thank you. Can't say thank you enough. Email about our last guest, Mike. Is Mike concerned that after his interview with you this morning, someone will be waiting for him in the parking lot?
Well, you know, we asked him about that because of his long mob associations, and he said that all the people that would want to do him damage are either dead or in jail. So he's pretty much last man standing, he feels.
Yeah, that's...
But he's still careful, still looks over his shoulder.
Yeah, I would think you always would.
Yeah,
I would think so, too. What a fascinating guest, by the way. Really enjoyed that. Last week, we had another guy in that we liked very much named Matthew Berry. He's the head of the fantasy sports department at ESPN. And we heard from a lot of people who think, Kevin, we are dead wrong with not getting on board with fantasy sports.
Oh,
listen to
this
one. This is Aaron. I wanted to leave this on the Afro line, but the mailbox is full because you people are not on top of your business. Way to go, beer mug. The fact is, you guys don't appreciate fantasy football because you don't know what it feels like to be a champion. Sure, I might seem like a douche for giving such weight to my multiple titles in multiple leagues, but at least I'm a douche who is also a winner and a champion. I propose you start the Kevin Bean Official Fantasy Football League and fill it with staff, guests, maybe that Charles Manson chick who calls in on the Afro line. I'll even be the commissioner if you're too lazy. We could do points per catch, tackle for lost points. At the end of the season, the winner gets to kick beer mug right in his tiny nutsack. Hit me back if you're down. Best wishes, Aaron. 3 times fantasy champion, 6-time division champion.
Because that's what champions do.
I don't, I
I'm going to suggest he's too happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
like he says, he may sound like a douche, but at least he's a douche who's a winner, which may be more than we've got going on.
Dear Kevin and Bean, please tell me you saved Ralph's fireworks finale imitation as a drop for later. That was the best, just catching up on the podcast. It was towards the end of Tuesday, about 1 hour and 36 minutes. Party on, Brian. And this brings up a good topic, which is people, we don't need your help when we screw up. Like, there was a guy, tweeting me from Italy. He was on vacation in Italy, and I had made a mistake, and he's tweeting, oh, you should make that into a moment with. And I was thinking to myself, you're in Italy!
Jeez.
I have 7,000 moments with. We'll live without this one. Live your life.
That's commitment.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Danielle writes in. This is in reference to our sexting gone wrong topic that we had the other day. You take a picture and you intend it for somebody. It ends up in somebody else's hands, a la Anthony Weiner. Carlos Danger, excuse me. My cousin took a bunch of really raunchy photos of herself that she sent to a boyfriend. Then a few days later, she was at a club and lost her phone. The person that found her phone went through her phone and sent those pictures to everyone in her contact list.
Wow.
Parents, her pastor, her pastor's wife, that they had known the pastor and his wife since childhood, by the way, her sister, anyone that was in her phone that was attached to a work or family group received these photos. That does sound like something you would do, Kevin, if you found somebody else's phone.
No.
Yeah, that's just evil.
No, no, no. I wouldn't do parents and preacher
that's
and stuff.
That's not just good fun.
No. It's got to be just good fun. I would keep them.
Yeah,
and hang
course.
Them over their head and say, look, you do what I would say for the rest of time. Hey, guys, I've been listening to Friday's podcast. I have 6 lyrical tattoos, 2 of which are from 30 Seconds to Mars. This is from listener Colette. Number 1, my love is a black rose down the side. From Rose in the Devil's Garden by Tiger Army. Still love it. She tells us whether she's happy with it or not at the end of each one. Into Your Eyes, Hopeless and Taken on the Side of 2 Fingers from Kings and Queens by 30 Seconds to Mars. Still love it. Closer to the Edge across my foot near my toes by 30 Seconds to Mars. Still love it.
Wow.
Wild Rover on my other foot from an Irish drinking song. Still love it. In Spite
love it?
Of Ourselves on One Arm by In Spite of Ourselves by John Prine. That was our first dance song at our wedding. Still love it. Living is Easy with Eyes Closed. Misunderstanding All You See on my arm from Strawberry Fields by the Beatles. This is on my Tim Burton arm. Still love it.
Still love it. She's very happy.
Turn
yourself
happy
into a notepad.
Any single one of those.
Dear Kevin and Bean, podcast listener here, formerly lived in Hemet, now Sacramento. I'm one of those people with band lyrics tattooed on me. I have mine on my upper inner arm from the Arcade Fire song called Neighborhood Number 1, Tunnels. It says, we let our hair grow long and forget all that we used to know. I love me some Arcade Fire. I also found it funny on the same show, you mentioned that girl that was asking for a Nirvana video, and you were saying how weird it is that there are people who do not know who Kurt Cobain is. I'm only 2 to 3 years older than 2 of my coworkers I was talking to recently when they asked me who Kurt Cobain was. I thought they were effing with me, but they weren't. Who doesn't know who Kurt Cobain was? Fire beer mug Vanessa. And by the way, this is what I was saying. Even if you're 14 today, you've grown up in a world where Kurt Cobain's image and songs are everywhere, haven't you?
Well, I would think so. I don't know. That's hard to understand, yeah. But
I mean, I would think that, you know, if you're old enough to have a job and you've lived in America, you know who Led Zeppelin was or The Who or any of these other bands that have just kind of always been around and always been played. I'm just so surprised when somebody just has that a blank spot like that, unless they're just not into music at all. Maybe they just don't care anything about music, and that's why they don't ever run into who these people are.
But
surprise
care.
To me.
Stop doing that, people. Start caring. Although I don't know that I would know, you know, band names from older bands.
Yeah. And if that's just not the kind of music they were ever into, if they were always into pop
rap or pop or something.
Yeah.
And I have one more that I think you'll like very much. I had tweeted last week about how refreshing it was to be on vacation in London where people understand escalator etiquette. It's a great thing when you get on you're in the tube station, for instance, in London, you go to the escalator and all the people who want to stand on the escalator stand to the right, making it easy for everybody who wants to walk up the escalator or down the escalator to do it on the left. Everybody does it.
I would go so far as to say that's the best thing in life.
It is. I agree. Thank you. It's the best thing in life. Charles writes in, just wanted to say, I read your escalator tweet when you posted it, heard it again on Thanks for That Tweet, Bean, and here's what I have to say to that. God damn it, yes. You should consider this a blanket approval for all of your tweets.
Oh,
well, thank you, Charles.
Charles.
That's what I was looking for. I appreciate that very much.
Great.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Because it's Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office to kick things off. As expected, The Wolverine was number one this weekend. $55 million made it number one.
Anyone see that?
Yep. Loved How it. Was it? Loved it.
Really?
Yeah, it was really good.
All right.
Good action, good story. I liked it.
Excellent.
Okay. All right, back off, man. Okay, you liked it.
Super hot Japanese chicks?
Okay, we get it. What's you not liked to like? It.
Kicking ass?
What do you got going on in your life that every weekend you go to see, like,
I love
movies.
Seeing movies.
I so do I, but you know what? I have life I that gets too. In the way sometimes. You don't.
I do.
You can't possibly. You. Every weekend. Also, that's... Who saw that one movie that was playing in Pacoima in the back of some guy's van? Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I was good. I saw the Potter Bus movie.
How dare you?
Did your family just not mind when you're just going like,
I think they're happy.
Thank God. Thank you. Here's another movie, Dad. Go see that one.
In general, yeah, I think they're happy.
Conjuring was number two at $22.1 million. Then Despicable Me 2, Turbo, and Grown Ups 2 were the top five. Red 2 was sixth. Pacific Rim, The Heat, R.I.P.D. was ninth. And then Fruitvale Station, in limited release, made $4.7 million. Good enough to make it number 10.
I want a good movie.
I'll go see all the movies. Well, movie, I'll go see it. I like.
You didn't go see Anthony B. Jones this weekend?
How dare you?
I like popcorn. I eat popcorn and movies.
Potty bus.
Can I hear Bead's impression again, please?
Potty bus.
potty bus.
A potty.
Justin Bieber, that pop scrotum, he's at it again.
This is just, it's hard to believe that he can do this many things wrong. If he was, if it,
foul human being.
If it was his goal to alienate every fan, he couldn't do a better job.
He was inside his Toronto hotel room. Outside were throngs of believers trying to get a glimpse of their hero underneath his balcony. He came out and then proceeded to lean over the balcony railing and hawk loogies down upon the crowd.
Asshole.
Just spitting on people down below.
Fire beer mug.
Yeah, that's what he
his
did.
His fans. Those are his fans.
And you'd think that would be enough. They'd say, they'd look at each other and say, what are we doing?
Right,
right.
Following this pop scrotum, let's go find someone who has talent and is nice to us.
You would think so.
But no, here are some of the tweets from some of his fans. I'd be honored and keep that spit forever if it was me, said one fan.
Said one fan who didn't get spit on, by the way.
Another fan said, his saliva is like holy water. I don't think I want to be baptized in that particular kind of holy water.
Yeah. That's nasty.
Looks like Selena Gomez may be giving him another chance.
Oh, good. After she heard that story, I was just like, I gotta have that guy.
He showed up at her 21st birthday party over the weekend and left with her, so... Like she's going to get some spit of her own.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
Yes, we know what you're saying.
Oh. Kim and Kourtney Kardashian may be in trouble. That makes me happy. Apparently, their two exes, Ray J and Michael Gergenti.
I don't know.
I'm not familiar with that dude. But they have gotten together to write a song about their exes. Ray J already did one, remember? Like... I had it before you, I had it first, or I got it before you, Kanye, or...
That was Ray J, right?
Sloppy Seconds, Kanye. Yeah. Ray, that's what I meant. Oh. Ray, didn't I say Ray J?
I thought you said
you
Reggie. Did. I don't know.
Yeah. You did.
Sorry.
You thought I said Reggie?
My bad. Just move on. What the hell?
Gergente and Ray J will be writing this song together. I thought you said Reggie. And Michael says he wants a paternity test from her son, Mason... Because he believes the kid's his, not Scott Disick's. So between that and Ray J's sex tape.
Did you just say Reggie?
Ray J's sex tape. To make for some interesting lyrics. Who knows what they're going to write about, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's the original.
Hey! Ray J, Bobby Bracken. Yeah, she might move on to rappers and ball players, but we all know I hit it first.
Yeah.
Hop in the club and pop a show love, and I don't even put in work.
We all know I hit it first.
He hit it first.
That is some good music right there.
By the way, I doubt you were first, Ray J. Katy Perry. It's on the cover of Vogue magazine this month.
Yes.
She said she was so excited about being on the cover of Vogue that she went on a 3-month cleanse to look as good as possible for the photo shoot. No coffee, no alcohol, just juices.
Isn't that too long for a cleanse?
Vitamin supplements. Just purged everything out of her body. I wanted to be glowing for that cover, she wrote. Here's a little hint, Katy Perry. They have something called Photoshop. Have a cup of coffee. Relax. If you look like ass, they weren't going to let you look like ass on the cover. They would fix you up to look great.
That's a good point.
Easier than 3 months with kale juice.
About 10 minutes with Photoshop, you'd be fine.
That's right. They're not going to let you look bad, foolish girl. And sci-fi, they're going with a winning formula. August the 22nd debuts their next original movie. This time, instead of Sharknado, it's Ghost Shark. Bum, bum, bum. Ghost Shark? Who are you going to call? Ghost Shark!
That is awesome!
I'm not sure how awesome that is. What can a ghost shark do to you? Is it just scare you?
Scare you, yeah.
That's it, though?
Show up in your closet. Boo. Ah! Ghost Shark!
It can't bite you. It's a ghost.
Maybe it can. Huh. You don't know. Look, I saw a movie once where a ghost could take a penny and slide it up a wall.
You never saw that.
It happened.
That's ridiculous.
That happened. I saw a movie where a ghost made a clay pot with his girlfriend. So anything is possible. You guys looking forward to the next Star Wars movie?
Sure, but it's not soon, is it?
A couple years from now.
Okay.
A couple years from now. People are very excited, though. Talking about casting. Who's going to do the music? John Williams has signed on to do the score for episode 7.
You got to have him, right? Just because of this.
I think so. He's done the scores for all 6 of the movies so far, and Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy confirmed he will be back for episode 7.
That's good news.
There was a fan event over Germany. Fan event over the weekend in Germany, rather, and they were talking about the next film, and the entire cast of Return of the Jedi showed up to celebrate the 30th anniversary of that movie.
Wow!
30 years ago, Return of the Jedi first hit the screens. They were all there. Carrie Fisher was there. She, of course, now looks like the Emperor. Mark Hamill. Anthony Daniels, C-3PO, of course. Peter Mayhew. Chewbacca. Ian McDiarmid. Emperor Palpatine. Warwick Davis. The Wicket the Ewok. Jeremy Bullock, who was Boba Fett. They're all there, except for one person didn't show.
I'm going to go in Germany.
I'm sorry?
I can't go to Germany.
Harrison Ford?
They're still looking for me and my dad. Because we stole that Ark.
That's a different movie series.
But he's confused. He thinks the Germans are still after him.
Junior, the Nazis are after us.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Allison Mack is 71 years old today. Danger Mouse of Gnarls Barkley fame celebrates his 36th birthday. Josh Radner, Ted of How I Met Your Mother, 39 years old. Stephen Dorff is 40. Will Wheaton is 41 years old. And singer, bassist, Canadian rock and roll legend Geddy Lee of Rush, 60 years old today.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Sure, drumming on the table has quite the same effect.
Listen to that Neil Peart, baby. Like a metronome. Perfect. Did you happen to see the induction ceremony for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where Taylor Hawkins and Dave Grohl brought those guys in?
I did not.
So much fun. They came out and gave a very rousing speech, and then they took the stage dressed in like 70s Rush garb. And rocked out for a minute, and then sort of seamlessly the other band, the real band, came on, and they kind of handed over to him, and they went on.
You know how cool. Justin Bieber is 100% douchebag?
Yes.
Dave Grohl is 100%. Everything he does is cool.
He's the anti-Bieber.
He really is.
He's got all the talent.
No misstep.
With no ego, and just all things cool and nice and kind.
It's the best.
He is the anti-Bieber.
And please note, by the way, all that's true, and Grohl is enjoying the hell out of his life. Yeah. Bieber seems miserable all the time.
Dave Grohl has never spit on one person that I know
right.
of.
Right.
We'll have to ask him, but I think that's true.
We'll have to check it out. But I believe he's never peed in that janitor's bucket.
Right.
Also, I'm just going through the list in my mind. I believe that he is free and clear of all those charges.
That's correct.
He's never left a monkey at an airport.
No, he's
he
not.
Didn't plan
that's
ahead.
True.
Never
he
done
always
that.
Takes care of his monkeys.
That's true.
He is a monkey lover.
I'm Ralph Garman. I watch the show.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. How does the story end? We got a brand new one of those for you. Is Michael Jackson really going to come out with an album of duets that he did with other people?
Just one guy.
Seems odd.
Freddie Mercury.
Just Freddie Mercury?
Yeah.
They recorded a whole album's worth?
And it didn't get released?
A bunch of them.
That's bizarre. We have parking lot battles tomorrow morning. You got in a fight in a parking lot.
Is that a new show on AMC or something?
And the welterweight champ of the UFC, George St. Pierre. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and